tuned into the Audio Asylum. Let's get crazy.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the world's most pointless podcast. Welcome to the Audio Asylum. And I'm extra excited today because I've been waiting to do this episode for like a whole fucking year, like and a half. Ladies and gentlemen, Tina's back.
I don't know what was longer, the COVID-19 pandemic or this fucking meeting.
Yo, it has been a long, long time coming. I don't even want to fucking blabber. Let everyone know what you're comfortable letting them know, but like, There's a lot. You moved, there's other things. Let them know where you've been.
Oh, man. Do you guys want to take a magical journey together?
Let's do it.
Cool. We'll all do it together. Yo, it's just been crazy. It's really been crazy. This whole past year, the whole past just even 2 years since being in the pandemic, just everything just feels like, it feels like a dream in a way that you're just trying to get yourself out of, but you can't like wake yourself up.
Yeah.
Same. But I've been just doing everything. I finally, after all these years, finished my bachelor's undergrad. That finally got finished and I completely closed that chapter of my life.
Nice.
But while closing that chapter of my life, I then actually started a whole brand new chapter. And I had a baby.
Yeah. Mom life.
Obviously Joe knows about because he's my best fucking friend.
I think we've dropped subtle hints on shows that you weren't on without blatantly saying it.
It was definitely like noticeable certain episodes. It was brought up. And very, like you just said, in subtle and like little like commenting type of ways. But yeah, I'm not gonna lie, right now, it still surprises me that I'm the one who had a baby first out of everybody we know. Yeah. Everybody, like Brandon, Ashley, and well, Mike and Brittany did have a baby too, which is actually, that's actually a kind of a funny, cute little story, we actually found out about that. But it's crazy to me how I'm still the one that actually had the baby. Like I sometimes still can't process like that it's here.
Who do you think was going to pop one out before you? Did you think it would have been Brittany or Ashley?
Yeah.
Just for those listening, Brittany is Mike's fiance. And then Ashley is Brandon Lee.
Emo Tim.
Brandon Lee, Emo Tim, Blee, whatever you want to call it. That's his fiance. So there are other couples that have been together just as long as Tina has been with Dom.
Yeah, man. It's so basically I found out that I was pregnant on a sunny Friday morning in May. And no, there was no unicorns, there was no daisies and roses and shit. Like I'm from the Bronx. Like I was in my building. I woke up one morning not feeling great. But honestly, it was just really fast paced. Everything happened so fast because I found out at the beginning of the month that I was having a baby. And then I left the Bronx literally right before the end of the month. Like I ended up moving like to Garajo land.
Yeah. So you moved middle pandemic.
I did, which was very challenging in and of itself, let alone even having a baby in the middle of a worldwide pandemic was also extremely challenging.
Do you want to get into why you moved or would you rather not? I mean, not that it's like this big, crazy thing, but
it's not. And it's more of just
bullshit. For mental health and kind of like, maybe it'll help somebody. Like you wanted to get out of this environment.
It was a couple of different things. It was my mental health. It was also me just being in a situation where I just didn't want to raise my child in that environment anymore, like the city life meaning.
Yeah.
Let alone where I was living. Like, and again, I'm always authentic and real to the bone about it. Like when I was living back in my parents' house, like I was living in their living room. because I didn't have a bedroom because I had moved out at a certain point. There was a whole situation in my housing, so I had to go back home to my parents, which wasn't my plan. But while living with my parents, I then was living in their living room because my sisters ended up getting separate bedrooms. So my sister took my old bedroom, and it was hard. It was fucking trash. Like, I didn't see myself able to raise a child in a living room. Like, it doesn't make sense. I just knew it wasn't going to work in terms of, you know, how the household is run. Plus I had 1,000 animals as well. At the time we had Trailer was a giant pit bull. Like, and then to top it, we had the other dogs, we had cats. Like, it was just, it was too much. It was chaotic. So after, coincidentally enough, I told my mom, because she was one of the first people to know outside of course, Dom. But when I told my mom that I was pregnant, she actually was the one who researched houses that were in the Bronx. Like, she basically started the process. She contacted people. She was doing what she needed to. And I was helping her, like, you know, look up places. And even my sister at a certain point, because even ironically, before I had gotten pregnant, we were trying to move and get out of the Bronx because apartment was just too small. Prices were going up. And just like I said before, mental health wise, I just knew that it wasn't an environment for me to be able to keep growing and keep learning.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very stagnant environment that I was born and bred in most of my life. Like, besides me moving to Texas when I was a lot younger, but there was just no growth. There was no more opportunity for me to do anything with that in the Bronx. So on top of that, my parents are getting a lot older too. They couldn't deal with the hustle bustle style of the city. So we ended up just kind of cutting from there.
Yeah. And you're upstate New York now, which is way more of a you trait in general. Like, you live on a hill up in the woods.
Bro, like, I don't even live on a hill. I live on a mountain.
Yeah. Like, it's fucking steep.
It is. I literally live on a mountain where I have a filtration system for my water. Like, because I literally live on a mountain. But when I honest to God tell you, I do not regret it. I don't miss the city. I don't regret. I miss some of y'all, but I really don't miss some of y'all. I really don't miss either. But some of you, the very few of you, I miss very much, very much dear to my heart.
Yeah, we miss you too. You and me talk all the time, but for the people listening, I don't know if I've really vocalized it on the show, like you said, authentic and real. I have had a whole life adjusting to Tina not being 15 minutes away.
Like, no, not even. I was 7 minutes by car, but for me driving, it was 3.
Yeah.
Like, I used to speed to the back neighborhoods just to get to the house.
Yeah, we've expressed it privately, but like publicly on the podcast since the last time you've been on it, it's been a huge adjustment for the both of us. We're literally best friends. You guys know she was on every other episode, like, at a certain point.
Yeah.
So literally spent every other day together, even if it was only 10 minutes. So
I was working 7 to 3 shifts, getting out of work to go.
You lived here at a certain point.
Yeah, I was literally going to work, going to Joe's house, staying there to chill and to hang out, do what we do, and then literally go back to work the following day. Like, and honest to God, it's funny because I was talking to your grandmother a couple weeks ago, and I had said to her, you know, I always felt like your house was always just a second home to me, and it was my safe space. And you know what's actually interlooping all this shit? I was in class over the weekend, and we were talking about having safe spaces, and somebody, the teacher, had asked, like, can you identify or know, like, where your safe space is? And I flat out said that to him. I'm like, honestly, my safe space was at my best friend's house in the Bronx, but now that I'm not there anymore and I don't go there anymore, I don't know where my new safe space is.
Damn.
That's kind of one of those things that, again, it goes back to the adjustment that what you just said, like, it was just a giant adjustment for the both of us. And I'm still even adjusting because, bro, at the end of the day, we've known each other and I've been best friends since we were 14 years old. Like, I got no shame. I'm 26. Like, people at home can do the math. Like, that's over a decade worth of a friendship and, like, a bond that I have with this person that I don't have now. So it's, that in and of itself is a giant adjustment for anybody.
Yeah. I mean, the bond is definitely still there, but like you said, like, being like, it was so easy if one of us had a bad day to be like, I'm gonna come over. Like, it was ridiculously easy. But, you know, thankfully we still keep in great touch, but we can get back all to all of this. But I had an interesting question that leads into the mom stuff that I made sure I kept in the brain, because I don't think this is something you and me ever talked about. And I think it will be cool to talk about it on here.
Okay.
We've babysat little kids before, both. Like, we've done that whole charade. But I don't know. Have you
babysat 18-year-olds before, 21-year-olds before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've babysat our fucking dumb friends. Yeah, we've babysat each other. But we... literally. But from my knowledge going back, in terms of actual babysitting, like, I don't think you and me have ever babysat babies. And from what I remember about you, I don't think you have. Is your son the first experience you've had of, yo, it's a baby? Like, this isn't a kid that can walk and talk and communicate with me right now. Is this your son, your child, your first experience dealing with a baby at all?
So I've seen and been around, like, for example, like when my cousins were babies, but the difference is I would see them as babies only for maybe about a week. And then they would like go back to Texas, for example, because my aunt lives in Texas. So to have a baby, like how I have my son, like in my face 24/7 like this, hell fucking no. Hell no. And it's funny because it's still, again, it goes back to what you said, the adjustment with everything. So seeing these stages, I wasn't used to it. So there were certain elements that I knew, but then certain other things I didn't know. So, and something that I had to realize, like, really, really hard is there's no manual to this. Like, you have to just do what you think is best, and you just have to do to what you is going to basically make, you know, him comfortable and make him okay, make him feel safe and secure. And sometimes it involves doing out of this world shit. Sometimes it involves just doing things that are by the parent book, because you know by other parents or you see other things. One thing that I will say that definitely did not help was media with their and Hollywood's depiction of having a baby and being in motherhood. That's a whole fucking lie.
Yeah, you said that you've wanted to express that. Yeah.
Like, it's a whole different, no, it's not sunshines and daisies. Because even for me, like my son, for example, he started teething at 2 months old.
And yeah, you said that that's not supposed to be a
thing,
right?
Some babies do start early, but most start a lot later. But I got the luck of the draw, and I got one that just, he wanted to teeth early. And you want to know what he's doing now? He's starting to bite.
Yeah.
At 8 months old, he's starting to be a little biter.
Yeah, the car ride home from the fair the last time I was there, he was holding my finger, and then I'm in mid-conversation with Dom, and I'm like, oh, he's trying to eat me. Like, and I was like, no.
Yeah, man. It's just, it also just goes by so fast. Like,
it does feel like just yesterday you told me. Like, it does, time went by pretty quick.
Bro, I can't even still, like, process, like he's there and not leaving.
You gotta get like,
he has a room. He has a crib. He has toys. He has a swing. He has food. Like, literally. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's not leaving until he's about like 20, maybe.
You know what it is too? I also thought about, it's funny you've mentioned that, because I thought about that even with Dom the other day. And I'm like, not for nothing. And even having, like, you know, having him, of course, too, it just makes you like get into such a different space in terms of having to really reflect and also figure out your own identity. Because if I'm being authentic here, I feel like when I had him, I did lose a sense of identity a little bit, because now I'm taking more of a step back in my role of being a friend, being a sister, or being like, or just being whoever I am to anybody else. I have to take a step back now from being in that role to get myself now into a brand new role of being a parent and being and encapsulating all those things into one little human.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, because once, I mean, I'm no father, but like, once you have the baby, like that's it. Like, the only thing that matters from that point is yourself and your child. Everything else comes second, third, fourth, fifth.
And you know what's funny is, but that's the thing too, like, keeping yourself, your child, or like your partner slash spouse, like, having that as your first priorities is, of course, like the number one thing, or that could be what somebody else, what everyone else thinks or how everyone else feels, especially after like your child is born. But something that I've seemed to realize too is don't limit yourself and make that part of yourself your identity.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you still are your own person and you have your own likes, you have your own interests, your own passions, your hobbies. Don't completely put those on a back burner, or don't completely start neglecting those parts and those extensions of yourself to immerse yourself into being into this new role. Because once you start losing those little bits and pieces about yourself, you're then so invested in your family and so invested in what you're trying to do. And of course, it's nothing wrong and it's not a bad thing. But think of it this way too. When your child starts to get a little bit older, when they're hitting like that adolescent, that teenage stage where they start looking for a little bit more bits and pieces of freedom, when your child wants that freedom to maybe go to a friend's house or maybe go join sports, or maybe they're 18 now and trying to give me a heart attack with drugs or whatever the fuck these kids do. At the same time, you also want to be able to self-care for yourself and still have things that make you feel good and bring joy to yourself too. Like, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
no, of course.
Like, it's important to have those things.
It your downtime. Well, I've vocalized this on the show about any aspect in life. Your downtime is really important. Like, and I relate, like, I'm no parent, but I relate to that because sometimes I'll feel like mentally I'll get so being authentic, I'll get caught up in this, worrying about who's gonna show up, who's gonna not, who's gonna get upset about something, and I'll be thinking about that shit for 3 hours, and then I'm like, the whole time I was worrying about this shit, I could have went on a bike ride, or I could have fucking played a video game. And so, or even just with like my job when I'm at work, like, you know. But yeah. No, I can't imagine what it is on that level as a mom, because like you said, it's in your face 24/7, and until he goes to sleep, you don't really have downtime. But when he's asleep, I'm sure you want to sleep. So it's
that's where like that balance becomes tricky, because overall he actually is really good. He's a really, really good kid. Like,
yeah.
Overall, he's a good kid. Like, he's not really bothered unless he either has a full diaper, he wants a bottle, he's tired, or he or just wants to roll around on the floor. Otherwise, like, he's honestly really easy peasy. It's just more of, like we said before, trying to find that balance to figure out what exactly works with what in terms of like timing or like structure and stuff. And even with me, it's just including like being a mom and everything, it's just hard trying to find that time for yourself, because sometimes he doesn't nap during the day. So sometimes you don't get that moment for yourself, or you don't get that self-care, and that's okay too.
Yeah,
but that's when, again, you recognize when you can have those moments, like when the baby is possibly napping, or if you do have somebody in your support system that can take him even for 20-30 minutes just so you can unwind. And with me, it's just even more challenging because I work full time and then I'm in graduate school full time.
Yeah.
So Tina don't self-care. Tina's busy.
I mean, hopefully we get to do some stuff soon. Sadly, this pandemic has put a nail in a lot of plans, but
it did.
What's something that you miss like the most, you'd say? Like, is there something that like you're dying to do? Like,
because of like COVID, or just because like something I haven't done in a while that I just wanna
I guess the mix of COVID and being a parent. Like, is there something like you can't wait to do again?
Honestly, I really just want to get myself to a tailgate before a concert, before a wrestling show.
Okay.
I really want to get to another, because those tailgates that we used to do back in the day, like, those were fun. Like, we used to go with Gaston. Sometimes Lauren was there. We would just literally be, I'll never forget the one time we saw Breaking Benjamin and Gaston got so drunk before the concert, he fell asleep on my shoulder in the concert.
Yeah, oh my God. That.
I still have pictures and videos.
Oh my God. If you find more, send them. I'll post them on the account. Oh,
totally.
But totally. I definitely, I mean, for me, I walked in his neighborhood with him, ironically, that you brought him up. When we went to see Buckcherry last month, and I spent $9 on a concert beer, and like, we walked into the Sherman Theater and like, the lights are up and there's the whole thing of music playing on the speakers before the opening band goes up. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't, like, what? I couldn't even remember. I can't tell you the last show I was at before the pandemic. I don't remember.
What's funny is, I think the last one I went to was when me and you went that summer. We did like that 8 concert shebang that we did in 2019. It was literally that summer right before we went back to school for COVID. We went to like 8 concerts that one summer. I think that last one we went to was the last one that I went to too.
Yeah, whatever. I'm trying to think. It might have been Korn and Alice in Chains, actually.
Ah.
With Dom.
Maybe. Because that was like mid to like the ending of August.
Yeah, it might have been that. But the feeling being at any kind of live entertainment, or even like when I walked into a bar, like, and I was able to walk around and like engage with people, and like when karaoke started up a month ago and I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go, like, yeah. and even walking into that, I was like, oh my God, like, I can't remember this feeling. But I do have to say, not just because you're on the show, but like, it's still not as cool without you here with us doing it. There's always something missing at a certain point, like in the night, where I'm like, this isn't as fun.
Man, I miss it. Trust me. I miss it more than anything. I miss going to concerts. I miss going to the city sometimes. And I think that's why now, and again, I think it's growing pains.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't something that was going to be forever, because I just knew that my life itself was going to start changing and start like growing at a certain point. I just didn't know when. And it's funny because now, actually thinking about it, I think we did have a conversation like that a few months before I actually got pregnant. It was like something with along the lines of like, I know that like our lives are going to soon change. I just can't figure out what it is or what, but it was like one of those like sincere, like heart to hearts that we had, because I just knew, like, this was like a few months before I had got pregnant. I don't know if you remember that. We were sitting in the basement.
No, I do. And it was the kind of the conversation of, even ironically, we're talking about how fun it is to get back into that world. But it was also the conversation of like, it was starting to not become as fun. I mean, concerts and stuff like that is always like the big stress relief. But like, going out started to become not as fun anymore.
Yeah.
And like, we're getting older, and it's not, you know, the typical thing on a Friday night now for us to be like, let's go get fucked up. Like, it's more like, I'd rather stay away from people now. Like, and we're getting older, and we'd rather enjoy our company elsewhere. Like,
you know, I haven't had hard liquor since, like, let me rephrase what I was about to say. Cause so I've had hard liquor. I haven't gotten plastered drunk since before I got pregnant. And I'm telling you, I have had no interest in wanting to do that at all.
Yeah, dude, it's not like, I mean, I got a little fucked up like 2 weeks ago, but it, like, I'm trying to like say this in a way where people could relate. Like, over here where Tina used to live and where I live now, there's not much to do over here. So on the weekend when work is over, and everybody's kind of done with their college classes or whatever, the thing to do for a long time was just, let's go out and drink, because there is nothing else to fucking do over here.
The thing is, too, we also didn't have like a specific spot.
Yeah.
The crew or the gang went to, because everybody in the neighborhood was a fucking fuck.
Yeah.
So, and like, I mean, anywhere you went, you were running into the fox.
Yeah.
You were running into them. So at a certain point, it was just like, I'm not having a good time. And then you think about going to the city, which is great to do too.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't want to get on the train at 10 o'clock at night to then get there by 11. And like, bro, at a certain point, I kind of just felt like, not only like, you know, we were kind of outgrowing certain things.
Yeah, but exactly. That's the key phrase.
Yeah, like we were outgrowing certain things, but bro, we were getting old and tired.
And even like, even though like I can go out, I'm still kind of like that. Like, I'm not, I'm going to leave names out of it. They'll listen to it and know. But like, I'm invited out Friday night, and I cannot begin to tell you how much I don't want to fucking go. And it's something I'm into too. Like, it's the emo night thing. I love that shit. But it's the thought of getting on the train, getting to this place, waiting in line. And I know I'm going to have a good time once I get there.
Yeah.
But then it's the getting on the train to go back home, getting on the bus after I get on the train, or ordering the Uber, making sure I eat something. That
problem.
Well, yeah, well, like, you live in the woods.
I have a baby.
Well, yeah, you know.
Listen, you can use that when I tell you for anything. Bro, bro, I had to go to an engagement party a couple weeks ago, right? And when I tell you that we couldn't decide if we were going or not, we couldn't decide. But at a certain point, we then ended up, we're like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to go. The engagement party started at 3. We didn't show up till 4:20. And it was, why? Why didn't they show up at 4:20? Oh my God, you missed the first hour. Is everything okay? Yeah. The baby.
Yeah, the baby shit everywhere.
The baby just decided to throw up everywhere. He shit all over my walls. He pissed on the carpet. Your mind and your imagination just can start really spinning once you end up having, and that's the thing too. Sometimes this stuff does happen.
It's sometimes, yeah,
it doesn't happen. But what people don't know is when it happens. So it's not all a lie. It's just my timeline gets fucked. Have you ever seen Doctor Strange? How he fucks up timelines and shit. Same thing with Marvel movies, where the whole, like, I ain't trying to call myself Thanos or nothing, but I could, like, you know, slip around the little timeline a little bit if I need, got a little tweaking to do. So I just, you know.
All because you have a baby.
All because I have a baby.
It's the best cop out if you don't want to do anything ever. Like, who's going to argue with you? I can't.
I can't argue with, and to top it, what makes it better is my son's, like, he's pretty active. So what I mean by active, like, he's already, like, and I didn't even tell you, dude, he's, like, already, he's, like, crawling.
Oh, nice. He was just, nice. He was just fish-flopping.
You want to know what he did? You want to know what he did? First of all, he's had me up today, what's today? September 1st, today, he's had me up since 4 a.m., because he didn't want to go back to sleep. He literally then, at like 12 something, he starts crawling all over the floor. And then after a while, I notice it's too quiet. And that's another thing when you're a parent. When you hear that your kid's too quiet, you know that they're doing something they should not be doing. So what was Lorenzo doing? He was trying to eat the bottom metal base part to his swing.
Jesus.
The metal. He was face down, just going to town on this piece of metal. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he just looks at me and then just goes back to the metal. Like, bro, he's insane. Like, I have stories for hours about his nonsense.
Well, I mean, the shitting story the other day was wonderful.
Oh my God.
Tina was telling me how Dom was trying to change his son or play with his son, and that he was just leaking liquids.
Put him in the bathroom. Oh, he was in the bathtub.
Oh, he was trying to put him in the bathtub.
Oh my gosh! So for some, not for some reason, because he's a baby, the last, like, I want to say 2 months. So Dom actually takes on the job of giving our son a bath every night, because the way that, like, my shower, I don't have a tub, I have a shower stall. So yeah.
It's Tina has the porno shower.
Really?
It's the best way I can describe it. You have a porno shower.
I can't even
argue. Where they lean up against the glass and they're getting...
hammered away.
Yeah, that's the shower you have.
I can't even argue it. Yeah. So he's in the bathtub and Dom's giving him a bath and, like, he's playing with his toys and everything. And Dom's, like, talking to him and stuff. And he goes, oh, do you see the ducky? Yeah, that's the ducky. The ducky's yellow. And oh, no. Stop. What? And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm just sitting here on just doing my work on the table, just doing whatever. And then I hear, like, it stopped. I then hear him start up again. And he goes, stop doing that. And I'm like, what is he fucking doing? So I go into the bathroom. I'm like, are you okay? Shit. All over the tub.
Oh.
All over the shower stall. All over his ass. Everywhere.
I haven't seen that amount of shit ever in your life, because now you have a baby.
That's a lie, because when Chris would send shit pics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he did it to you, too.
He would do it to me back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, me, him, and Graves all have a chat called the Cocky Boys. And it's
Do not tell me what I think you're about to say. I feel like
it's just Chris sending us shit. And us farting into the microphone of our phones. Yeah.
See, that's a thing. I don't miss.
Yeah, there you go. There's something.
I don't want to be in that group.
Yeah. You have also, to get on another topic, if you want, you've also, like, kind of, like, taken a big step back from social media, which I have said I want to do, but because I have the show, I feel like I almost can't. You want to talk about, like, your decision to do that and the thought process going into that?
So social media, so when did that was
like, I want to say it was like near Christmas, like, you kind of, oh no, yeah, April, May.
Yeah, it was like April. So I'll get into it. So April, May was when I had kind of hopped off everything. And so after I had Lorenzo, I just started to kind of notice after a while, like, there was, like, I just knew that basically me scrolling on the phone all day long, hours after hours, it just wasn't productive. And it wasn't filling my time with anything positive, because I was also at a place, and I'll even admit it now, I'm dealing with some postpartum depression stuff right now. And being on social media wasn't helping with that in terms of, like I said, it just wasn't productive. I wasn't able to really learn anything anymore because it was the same stuff. It was more of just the politics and bullshit. It was the propaganda crap. And then it just, after a while, it just felt like everything was just, it was either a high or it was just a really low in terms of anything on social media that you went on just had to literally do with the politics of what was going on in the White House, what was going on with all of these movements that were going on at the time. And then it turned into a lot of those tragic stuff. And then you know how it is. Everybody show on social media shows their support when something tragic or something big happens.
Yeah.
Inadvertently a good thing, because you're showing your solidarity and your support. However, you then are scrolling on the phone so much that that's all you're then seeing for page after page after page. And then you see people commenting and saying either hurtful shit or saying shit that's just a little, like, not appropriate to say. And then it was just a lot of that. And then at a certain point too, like, I felt like, honest to God, my self-esteem was starting to fuck up, because I was a brand new parent. I was in a very vulnerable place in terms of, again, figuring out where I am, who I am, like getting into this new role as parenting. And then I see other parents on social media putting pictures up of their kids just being all smiley and then just being all cute and making it seem like, and again, everyone has the right to put and post whatever the fuck they want on their page. It's nothing like that at all. To me, it was just like, in and of itself, I feel like I just wasn't seeing the reality and the realisticness behind being a parent with a lot of the posts and the things that I would see. And then after a while too, it's like, well, I have my own opinion of things, but other moms have other opinions of shit. And then they're commenting on stuff, but then people are bashing them and shaming them and mom shaming them.
Yeah.
So after a while altogether, it just felt like, okay, this is just too much. Like, and I had personally also made the decision before my son was born to not post about my pregnancy or post about him on social media. That was a very big thing for me and for my husband. And we just did not, we just didn't want to. We didn't want his face plastered everywhere. And quite honestly, there are people that we don't talk to. There are people that we don't see. And we don't need them showing some fake support or fake love for our kid all over social media, but then you want to act like a fucking fool on the street. And me personally, I just feel like I'm not communicating with people.
Yeah.
Social media is about putting posts up and liking and commenting. And, you know, sometimes people post things that they think are funny or things that they're having feelings about that they want to be able to express and share. But I feel like I just wasn't having a connection or communicating with people on a regular, like, human fucking type of level, because everything is just based off social media. You remember people's birthdays because of social media. You know and can be acknowledged about certain life events and things because of social media. Like, where's the phone call?
Yeah.
Where's the text messages?
Yeah.
Where's the phone call to the person? Like, hey, where's the FaceTime call? And sometimes I get it, people get busy, so they don't, they're like, I can't call and text every individual person to let them know, hey, what's going on? This is my life. So I put it on social media. Like, everyone has, of course, their own reasonings for why they do it.
Yeah.
But for me, it was just too much. And then I remember, like I said before, it was like April, May. I ended up then just kind of deleting it. And when I honest to God tell you, I've had no interest.
Yeah.
Like, I just have no, like, literal, like, interest at all. And also because I'm busy. I'm in grad school full time. I work in foster care full time. I'm a mom full time.
It can be a big distraction. Like,
yeah. Like, and that's the other thing too. Like, my work's going to start to get lax. Like, I'm paying almost $100,000 for the program that I'm in right now. So it's like, if I'm paying all this money and then I'm working this hard, but then I'm distracting myself with scrolling on social media all day, then I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting my money, and I'm literally wasting my education at that point too.
Yeah, it's, so. I wish that I had the willpower, and I don't even think it's that I don't have the willpower. I think I just feel like it's really my only way to promote the show, and I have other ventures that I've spoken to you about that I want to do that I would have to kind of promote it through social media. That so, like, but dude, like, coming from somebody who completely agrees with you that still has it, like, sometimes I have to remind myself, like, I'll be, not even to sound funny, I'll be taking a dump and I'm like, just, and I'm like, I've been sitting here and I shit 5 minutes ago. Why am I still on the toilet? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, it's just little instances of things. Yeah, like, you could be just sitting at the table, like, you know what? I need to leave the house, for example, in 15 minutes to go meet up with somebody, right? Like, go to a restaurant, whatever. You literally then will be sitting on the couch scrolling through the phone for so long that your time and your sense of time and reality gets so, like, disoriented because you're sucked into the phone for so long and paying attention to that one thing. You could literally be sitting there for, when I say hours, hours.
Yeah.
Like, and literal hours just scrolling through the phone. And I'm like, yeah, my kid's not going to be okay with me scrolling through the phone all goddamn day.
And it's also, like, people forget, like, I always say this, if you have it and you use it like for good, like to promote shit you like or to make people laugh or whatever, like awesome. And I'm also guilty of posting my feelings on there every now and then. I used to do it a lot. I there's a big step back. And I think there's a way to do it too. Like a few months ago, I just posted, gotta be honest, not having the greatest day. If I don't talk to anybody, don't take it personal. Hope everybody's doing well. And then I left my phone away for the rest of the day. But like, then there's people that I feel like it's a, because mental health means so much to me. I feel like social media fucks with people's mental health bad. And I am 100% honest that it fucks with mine. So I have to, like, my self-esteem, you said it a few minutes ago, sometimes it fucks with my self-esteem. Like, and I gotta remind myself, like, this isn't real life all the time. People post what they want you to see.
That's their own perception of their reality that they're trying to have everybody else perceive to be. That's kind of what it is. Because you pick and choose what to put on social media. It's not like you're designated to have to put one specific thing or one specific and box yourself into shit. You pick and choose what you want to put on social media. And again, that goes back to what you said with the self-esteem, just my reality of just kind of seeing this parenting role and just seeing all these parents like so happy and just so like, everything is wonderful today because Joanne ate a banana. Everything is just so perfect because Michael picked up a stick. And it's just like,
it's not the real thing. Yeah.
Because I haven't processed the fact that I'm a parent, let alone stressed out because I'm in this brand new role, let alone looking at all you other parents thinking, how the fuck are you guys perfecting this when I'm struggling so goddamn hard?
Yeah.
And I can't seem to grasp. And that's the thing too. Like, Dom was home the first couple of weeks. And that's the other thing. Like, it's not like I was by myself.
Yeah.
Because Dom was there to support me. Both my parents, my twin sisters, Belle. Like, there were people here that were able to support me, but you're able to take and internalize as much support as you possibly can to help you with certain things. But when you're dealing with shit that's more internal, that's your own stuff that you have to work on, sometimes that extra outside support is not going to be that support to be able to help you. And that was even during a time where I even was distant with you a little bit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything personal. I literally was just going through it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of different stuff. And it's not to say that you didn't understand if I didn't call you up, because you understand the same feelings of anxiety or stress or depression. But
sometimes you just gotta be alone in it for a little while.
Yeah, like that's like, just kind of what it was for me. Like I just had to be alone in it, let alone like it's not to sound like this either, but you're never going to shove a child out of your penis.
No, yeah, no, so it's true though.
There are certain things that it's difficult. And I already in and of itself, and that's the other thing. I was in that like time period where I didn't have other mom friends. I tried to connect with other people so I could start asking some questions and start learning certain things. And it wasn't working out. So when I literally felt alone, like I felt alone, like, yeah. I wasn't talking to people much. I wasn't interacting with people much. And then even, and just being personal here, the last month of my pregnancy, I was in complete quarantine with Dom because my parents, my twin sisters, my nephew, and my extended family, which includes three extra people, all caught COVID. That was my support system. That was my immediate circle. That was everything. And they all caught COVID. Surprisingly enough, and thank God to this day, me and Dom for somehow, some way did not catch COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like we were all together for the holidays. And I'm wondering if that had something to do with it during Thanksgiving of last year. But me and him were the only two that didn't catch COVID, but I'm already 9 months pregnant. Like I can't really go anywhere and go outside.
Yeah.
Like when I tell you my son was literally weighing down on me, I was starting to wobble at a certain point because he was a heavy kid and he was already in, and this is just like for term shit for other people to know, but he basically was in like a head down position, like ready to come out like since October.
Wow.
So he was sitting there on me like that for almost 2 to 3 months. So by the time I hit my last month, I was already like, he needs to fucking get out of here. Cause this is like, I can't. And then once I came home with him, I still didn't have my support system because of the fact that they had COVID and I was paranoid. Cause I'm like, it's only been 2-3 weeks. I don't know. Like,
the last thing you need is one of you guys to get it. Yeah.
And I'm like, me and Dom cannot get sick. So I'm like, well, you motherfuckers, you need to go up there and stay the fuck up there and don't come near me. Like, and that was another thing for the first 3 weeks too. I was by myself with Dom, like hashing it out. And that's fucking hard. Like, you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah. Like, dude. Like that quarantine itself, like, because you and me never talked about, like, on the show, because the last episode you were on was literally, like, a month before shutdown. Like,
oh my God, it's been that long?
Yeah, like, it was, like, 2 or 3 months before shutdown, when I sliced my hand open at the bar, and we did the episode, like, 2 days later.
Oh, my God.
It's been that long.
It was, that was been literally a month before shutdown. That was literally, like, 4 months before I was pregnant, yeah.
Yeah, it's been that long, but like even just the quarantining itself, like I remember, I want to say like the first 3 months, I was like, I can beat all these video games I haven't beaten. I can catch up on all these movies and shows that I'm behind. I can learn all these songs on guitar. I'm gonna live. And it got to a point, just being transparent, like you say, where I was like, all I'm doing is drinking White Claw and repeating the same cycle every day.
Yeah.
Like, and the not seeing your friends for a while. And even when shit started to half open, like, I feel like that whole pandemic really, like, made me look at life a lot differently. Because I thankfully, like, haven't lost anybody to this. Like, yeah. But I know people that have. Like, and it's scary. Like, you know, it's a scary thing. And I'm not going to name drop anybody, but like there's like a handful of people that I know that got the virus. And some of those people I'm not even close to. I was once very close to them. Mm-hmm. And even the scare of somebody that I don't talk to anymore, but was talking to at the time, thought they had it. And like, it makes you kind of like think like, you don't know what the fuck's going to happen to people. And like, you know, to just kind of like count your blessings, I guess, as corny as that sounds to say on this show, what is talked about on this show. But I think everybody who listens also knows how transparent we are when we do talk about the real shit. So
I have nothing but literal life experiences.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed of it because quite honestly, other people, they either go through worse shit or similar shit than I do. And they need that guidance that sometimes that maybe they don't feel comfortable talking about. Sometimes they need to hear it from people like us to hear and just know, like, you know what, like other people are going through this shit too. So you know what, if they can get through it, I'll get through it, which you can. Yeah. Anybody that has shit going on, like you are so much greater than that and you will get past it.
We all like, went through a lot during this whole thing.
COVID really put a lot of shit into perspective for people. It changed a lot of people's lives. It did a lot. And it's still doing a lot because we're still technically in the pandemic.
Yeah. However. But it also, I think, helped, maybe for me, you can speak for yourself if you agree, like, help me get out of a comfort zone a little bit more. Like, I started doing shit that I necessarily wasn't doing before, like, I bought a full-sized hockey net and bought targets and like taught myself how to shoot a puck again and fixed my bike up. And now we're not out of the pandemic, but somewhat out of it. And now riding my bike has become something, yo, if I'm bad down here and it's nice out, like bad anxiety, whatever I'm thinking about shit, all it takes is for me to leave my house, fill up this fucking water bottle and get on my bike and I'll be okay. And I think it also helped me communicate my feelings a little bit better in certain departments. Still got to work on that, but in certain departments, like with people too. And I feel like I learned a lot, like all that downtime, bro, like playing video games and drinking ain't gonna do it. So I would get in the wormhole of YouTube documentaries about random shit. Like,
oh my God. I'm sorry, but I just remember the time you were telling me about that at your house, and then you were showing me the McDonald's hack video.
Bro. So there was a time, I love this night. This is one of, honestly, like, it's a fond memory of our friendship, where me and Tina were hanging out, and it might have been before you got pregnant. Might have been before you moved.
It was.
And we were just bored. There was nothing to do. And I was like, do you want to see this shit I've been watching? And I was watching, like, the most hidden fast food places, the most unhealthy fast food place in Kentucky. There was a place called the Heart Attack Grill that we watched a whole 45-minute documentary about.
Yeah, all of the, I think it was like the waitresses were dressed as like nurses. Mm-hmm. And they had items on a menu that explained, like, each item had like 15,000 calories, 20,000, because they would load up these burgers. And did they sell hot dogs? I can't remember. I remember these burgers.
You would have to sign a waiver to eat certain shit. And
you have to sign it, because if you were to get like a heart attack or something was to happen to you, like, you basically can't sue them, because you're willingly knowing, like, this is 15,000 calories. This is going to fuck you up. And we don't know if it's going to come out either this way or the other way. So
Heart Attack Grill. Me and Tina sat there for hours watching shit about food.
Yeah. All while drinking probably an Angry Orchard or a Claw.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
So I don't know if you remember, but you had wanted to ask some 5 questions each.
I did. I had the idea of, like, the people haven't heard us talk in a while. So I was like, you know, let's see what we remember about each other, which I'm pretty sure we'll probably get all these right. But who knows? You and me are two ditzes ourselves. So let's see.
Yeah, and I've been through stuff.
So I have 5 here, and I guess you have 5. So do you want to go question for question? Like, you go, I go, you go, I go?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, cool. I'll start off with a simple one.
Oh my God, I thought the same thing too. I was like, let me start off with a simple one, the hell no.
Okay. When I go out to a bar, what's my go-to order with a drink and if I were to take a shot?
Great, so I can get yelled at about the shot shit again on a podcast. You're not... Okay. All right. So if we were to go to a bar, what was your go-to drink and your go-to shot?
Yeah.
If it's seasonal, I feel like it's the Oktoberfest Sam Adams around like September, October, November, like around that season. That's your, what you like to drink there. Your shot, I feel like, I don't want to say Fireball because of you yelling at me.
Tina has forced Fireball down my throat.
Oh, I didn't.
I was really, really drunk.
I have another one that's like right there that I'm just like, I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. It's not any light liquor.
I know that. Yeah. It's always something dark. I feel like it's a mix. I feel like it has something to do with Jack Daniels.
Yeah, like, there you go.
I think it's the honey flavor.
Yep, you're pretty much right. I do love the seasonal beers in September and October. So you know what? You got that answer right. If it wasn't seasonal, what beer do you think I would get? Just a follow-up.
It's not seasonal, then... Well, the only reason why I say it depends is because you like the hard seltzers now, so I would normally then go to a White Claw, but if it was like, no, we're just cut dry like beer,
yeah,
I think it would be a Bud Light.
Blue Moon was the answer, but I'll give you a pass because I do drink Bud Light a lot.
Because I remember like your fridge and there was always Bud Light there. I never saw Budweiser like really
ever. I don't
ever.
Like Budweiser. Yeah, but like, you know what? Really. I'll give you a check mark for that. All right, you go.
So what is my favorite TV show and movie?
TV show is The Office, which, by the way, nobody could get me to watch but you.
I saw your text earlier about Jim.
Jim. I feel Jim's like great. Jim's kind of like my spirit animal.
Jim's great.
Yeah. He has this very dry, like, not it's not even dry. It's like this very relatable, like, look into the camera when something weird happens.
Because of, like, the, like, how weird or how, like, out of this world, I guess, like, the whatever happens, happens. So he just kind of looks at the camera. If you've gotten far enough down, have you seen Ryan look at the camera?
No, not yet. Not Ryan.
Oh, man. It's, like, very, very rare. It's not, like, as much as Jim, but Ryan sometimes will look at it and have it laugh, too, because of the stupid shit that would go on. But
so, Office is your favorite TV show, I know. Favorite movie?
Just to give you a hint, it has not changed since it came out.
The Dark Knight? Okay, cool, because I was teetering on that and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I was on a very, like...
That may come later.
Okay, and I remember you told me that, I still remember this day, we came back from somewhere sometime, Christmas shopping, and you put on the Flintstones movie one time, and you said when you were a kid, that might have been your favorite movie. I still remember that conversation.
When I was a kid, my favorites were between, like, that Flintstones movie, Monkey Bone.
Yes, you have mentioned that before.
With Brendan Fraser, that was a good movie. And then The Birdcage, but that I never told you about. Like, I don't think I ever told anybody that. It's a different type of movie, but The Birdcage was something that I've always loved growing up.
Got you. All right, my second question. This is kind of a layup, too, but there could also be several answers. Favorite snack?
Milk and cookies.
Correct.
Oh, wait, that's it.
Yeah.
Well,
let's say if I was going to eat bar.
You like milk and cookies, but he likes Insomnia cookies, cookie dough, like the half-baked ice cream, the Ben & Jerry's one.
Yeah.
I feel like anything with cookie dough, like cookie dough coffee, cookie dough milkshake, cookie dough ice cream.
No, there was cookie dough coffee for a certain period of time at Dunkin' Donuts. And that shit was wonderful. All
time.
Yeah. Nice. All right. That was a layup. Good one. You answered every single thing you said was
perfect. Okay. This might be a challenge for you.
Okay.
Let's see. What was my major during undergrad? Like, when I did undergrad and I graduated, what was my major that was on my degree?
Wasn't it, like, psychology? No. It wasn't psychology.
You're in that, I'll give you a clue, like, you're in that field and in that sector, but it wasn't, like, it's under that umbrella, but it wasn't psychology.
Like, human social something? Like, no? Counseling?
No.
I failed. What was it?
Behavioral science.
Behavior that, ah. I was like sociology.
You said human behavior. I heard it and I'm like, ugh. And then I thought, was he getting like what I'm going to school for now mixed up because you said human? So I'm like, oh shit. So like, is he thinking of my degree now? But
very briefly explain to people what your major is right now.
So right now I'm taking a dual program. So I'm trying to get my master's in social work and a master's in human sexuality to be a certified sex therapist.
Sex therapist. That's a dope job, I think. Let's lay this out there, pre-warning for people. Sex therapist doesn't mean she's going to come show you how to shove a dick in a pussy. She's not banging you.
Nah. Yeah. I don't want to see nothing.
She's giving you verbal tips and tricks.
Like, I don't want to see penises and vaginas and titties. And I don't want to see you guys looking at each other some type of way in my office. I don't want to see you guys thinking you can just come in waiting in the waiting room. And then I'm like running late and you can start doing something on the couch. No, don't do that shit.
Oh my God. I think you just gave me a fucking terrific video idea.
Don't do that shit. So I'm trying to do that and not for nothing. And I've been thinking about this a lot more lately. I don't know if I want to go back for my doctorate to eventually get my PhD in human sexuality, or go back for a third master's degree for marriage family counseling, like therapy, to eventually try to spread, because eventually I want to open up a clinic, but I want to be able to hold like another sector of the clinic to possibly treat specifically like professional wrestlers and their families.
Yes, you told me about that. Yeah.
So that's something that I've been thinking about more. I just don't know what exactly, I guess, is the right like path, but I guess I'll figure that out once I'm like done with school. I'm in a program right now I need to finish. So it's like, don't put myself ahead thinking what I want to do too much in the future, but I've been really trying to figure out which one of those I want to do.
That's what's up. Yo, Tina's going for it all. So if you're listening and you're like trying to decide what to do in college, do what you love, because Tina's the perfect example of it.
And listen, it is never too late.
No, it's not.
I am a mom, I work full time, and I'm in school. There is no excuse. You can do it.
Big facts. I have one more question about that sex therapist thing, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything like, because like, let's be real here. Like, it's a real thing. Like, sex anxiety, like that.
Yeah.
Fucking, I've had some weird occurrences that fucked me up, if I'm being honest.
But trust me, I've had some interesting topic of papers that I'm going to be doing. So don't worry, though.
But is, like, how did you come into, if you feel comfortable talking about it, like, how did you feel like, what made you choose that? Like, what was your thought process?
So originally I was in a place where I was almost done with undergrad and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my career for the rest of my life. So I had met a really close friend of mine at work, and he was actually joining my current school's online MSW program. So while he was doing that program, I had went onto the school website and was just looking into different things in terms of like what program offerings they have, what they can offer. And then after a while, it just was more of me kind of having certain questions and wanting to, you know, get answers to it. So I would do my own self-research, go online or read books or this, that, and the third. And I still felt like there was not a lot of education around sexuality, let alone wellness and health. And I'm also a very like, I try to be a holistic type of person in terms of using like crystals to heal and to use that type of energy as opposed to try to go straight for like a prescription pill or like a Tylenol, for example.
Yeah. So, you like your environment being comfortable.
Yeah, like I try to acclimate to the environment as much as I can on a more grounding and holistic type of level. No, I'm not a fucking gypsy. No, I am not a fucking hippie. Well, maybe a hippie, but
like, I think we're all hippies in a weird way.
Yeah, like don't get it twisted. I'm still ratcheting from the fucking Bronx. So I'm still gangsta, but I humble myself back down and I ground myself. But with the way that we are now moving into this brand new society and this brand new world, this I feel like is going to be a new wave of the way people are going to be able to get to that place of wellness and well-being by going more holistic and using herbal remedies or using powers of meditating and yoga and using crystals to be able to help with the healing process as opposed to always using meds to try to treat certain ailments or issues. And it's not to negate and say that meds are not like they're not, you know, important, or sometimes they're not needed for certain things. But I feel like it's getting to a point where it's becoming a little bit too abusive in certain scenarios because we're not looking for more of a natural way to heal, because we're just so accustomed to go to the doctor, take a pill, or go to the doctor and get this prescription. And I just kind of didn't believe that anymore. And with the sexual aspect of things going on, it was like I said before, I had questions about my own like sexual health and sexuality, and just even being a mom now, I have even more questions about things. And I know for a fact that I am not the only person that goes through this and has these challenges. So I want to be able to eventually create a safe space for people to feel vulnerable enough to have that conversation with me. And quite honestly, I feel okay and comfortable having those conversations with people. Do you know how much of our guy friends we've had over years that have said numerous things to me, and I've just been like, well, did you try this or did you do this? Like, I've been through a ringer of shit. So I'm just like, you know what? I have the capability. I'm comfortable having those conversations. And I'm also in the position where I want to educate people and I want to also empower people. Like, sex shouldn't be a taboo thing. Sex shouldn't be something for you to be worried about or anxious about, or even just something that you don't want to do. Like, your sexual well-being is important. It goes with your mental health.
It does. Which
some people may not know about, that we can get in at a later time, but it definitely goes to your mental health. It goes with your physical well-being and even your emotional well-being, because it goes back to elements of your self-esteem, your confidence, how you feel comfortable with your own body, let alone being with somebody else's body. Like, there's just so much more shit that goes into it, but yeah. It's a long road, but we out here.
Hey, I'm just like in some speechless, like, weird way about like how like into it you are. Like, that's fucking awesome. I think I'm on the question now. Yeah, I got really into that. I was really intrigued. What is my go-to karaoke song?
I have the name literally right here. My Own Worst Enemy. There we go.
That's you.
No.
Holiday by Green Day.
That's not fair. I want to redo. I haven't been to karaoke in almost 2 years. it's really Holiday now?
I've been doing Holiday.
Well, I have not been there, so how would I know? Okay, Holiday by Green Day.
Which one do you got? We're almost done here.
Let's see. Oh, if there is one band that is no longer living that I've always wanted to see, who would it be?
No longer living?
No longer living.
Like, they're dead.
They're dead. Like, there's not no, they're coming out of the ground. There's not no one member.
Are they all dead?
On the island 15 years ago and was like, yeah, I'm gonna come back and now drop this album. Like, no, they're dead and gone.
Like, they all dead?
Well,
or is somebody in the band dead?
Yeah, let's go with that. I would say that somebody, like the main component of the band, passed away.
Nirvana?
Well, that was fast.
I was, because you said dead, and then my brain went to a few different bands, but I was like, it has to be Nirvana.
No, it's definitely Nirvana. I feel like that's everybody's top pick too, though, if you think about it.
That is true.
Always
if Nirvana, I could go in a time machine to the 90s, I would see Nirvana. Before I would see anybody else.
You know what's funny is I felt like, so when I feed my son in the high chair, I actually like to put on the radio. I put on The Shark. It's Long Island's radio station. So they play a lot of rock music because I don't trust the music in my phone. I don't need Cardi B coming out talking about her WAP and my kid is sitting right. That's just not cool.
Yeah.
So I put on the rock station because I'm like, yeah, it's safe.
Yeah. Shout out to The Shark in Long Island.
For real. So I had put it on earlier and ironically was going through commercials, but then the first song that came on was In Bloom. Then after that, it was Stand Alone by Godsmack.
Oh, nice.
Then after that, it was Fight for Your Right by Beastie Boys.
Nice.
Dude, when I tell you I felt like Mr. Schneebly in School of Rock,
yeah.
He's like, write this down, Summer. He's like, at 11:30 to 11:15, rock appreciation and theory.
You know, that is a wonderful story.
At 1 o'clock, guitar time.
Yeah. I need to let you go get back to being a mom. I do have a last question, but I think this is the best way to wrap it up. It can be any dumb memory, but what is something like that always stands out from like any time we've hung out? Like, if you had to tell a story about me, even if it's embarrassing, if you had to tell a story about me, like, what memory are you going to?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
There's so many.
That's why I'm like, I have to sit for a second and really think about this.
Did you just think of one? Is that why you're hysterical laughing?
The time that I was, I drove me, you, and Alani back home from the Iron Horse on the FDR at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you fucking yacked outside the window.
That was bad, dude.
Bro, there was throw up all over the car. I was like, holy shit. And you were like, I'm so sorry. Because we were on the highway. So the throw up couldn't just hit the ground, and that was that. Like, the wind was blowing in.
Oh my God. I remember that.
Oh my God, that was bad. That was really, really bad.
I'm like red over here. I always feel bad when I don't throw up a lot, but when I do, when I'm with people, I feel terrible.
Oh my gosh, that was fucking hilarious. Like,
Wasn't I like singing like songs like when we left the bar?
Bro, you and Alani were drunk. Like, I was drinking like, I think literally one beer because I was driving. So I had like one beer, but you and Alani were just having like back to back to back to back drinks. And I remember when the lights came on at like freaking 5:15 in the morning, I'm like, oh,
they're closing.
I guess they're closing. And then we left. And then just when we got on the FDR, I remember you doing that. But not for nothing, I've also had my share experiences of puke too, like the freaking time
at the Wolf.
Yeah. That's gnarly.
That's how we found out you were allergic to vodka.
Yeah, because I remember I was drinking like a fish that night, and then the bartender had given me the shot of vodka on the house because I was like
drinking. Yeah.
That was bad.
I remember at one point that might have still been when we were hanging out with James, but somebody came up to me. It was either James or Emma.
Yeah, because James had, because basically when I went to the bathroom, Sarah and her, I think it was her cousin, not her aunt. Maybe it was her aunt. No,
her cousin with the black hair.
Her cousin, yeah.
Yeah.
They both followed me into the bathroom and they helped me. And they were like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm puking. I'm not okay. So they then were holding my hair and everything. And I remember you and Sarah closed out my tab. And then James had to go get his car.
Yeah.
Bring the car around. And then I got in the car. We went to McDonald's to get McChickens because you were like, it'll help your stomach, bro. It'll absorb all the alcohol, bro. And I'm just half drunk, like, okay.
Whenever somebody's wasted.
And then we got back to your house. Dude, I was so trashed, and I don't give, I'll say it. Guys, I was so trashed that Joe had to take a hockey jersey and literally change my own top. Like, it was in a bra and everything. Like, he had to change my top because I was that drunk. Like, I didn't know shit. Like, shout out to
you, bro, because
you really came in handy. Like, my
shirt
got
changed. You threw up in the bathroom, too. Well, that's why I had to do that, because you got throwy up on your shirt.
There was the bucket on the floor. I remember Mike was fucking wearing a blanket like a toga at a certain point.
Yeah.
At like 3 a.m, Mike's just wearing a toga shirt thing. Oh my God. This is before we were all parents, but
yeah, this is before Mike and Tina were parents, and before I mean, I'm still a degenerate, but I'm a good degenerate. Not as much as a degenerate as the other guys. But I do have to let you go back to your parent duties. And also, we are wrestling fans and AEW is on tonight. So we don't want to miss that. But dude, just to close out, like, what, like, it's just awesome to have you back on, and like, it feels like old times, like doing this. I'm hoping I'm
so glad that I was able to get on here and just to even chat with you and just to kind of follow up with everybody on my life and my existence. I promise you guys I wasn't dead. I was just, I kind of pulled a Drake. You know how Drake had his kid and then he put him in secret and shit? That's kind of what I did essentially, but I wasn't Drake on the gram.
Yeah.
But like, I was Drake. I Draked it. I got no shame. I Draked it.
You put out the track, you disappeared for a while, and now you came back with a new track.
With an album.
Yeah. I'm hoping we can have you back on soon. You and me talk every fucking day, so we'll figure something out. But I can't even be like, hey, where can they follow you? Because it's social media. But if you want to say anything to the fan base at all.
If anyone ever has questions, if they need somebody to talk to, if they need a support, if they just need to vent shit out, if they just have questions about their life and they're just like, I have no idea what the hell to do right now. I'm in a place where I'm panicking, trying to be a degenerate, but be an adult at the same time. You guys are more than welcome to reach out to me. Of course, you can channel through Joe. If you do not have my number, you can channel through Joe and he'll send me along information. And then you guys can text me at that point. People who do have my number, I am still alive and I'm still here. You guys can reach out to me whenever you guys need it.
Thank you, Tina. That's awesome. I love you. It's awesome to have you back on the show.
And yes, it was fun being here. I can't wait to come back.
Yes, and we'll definitely have you back on soon. Guys, the usual, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. And if there's one message I could give out of this episode, it's also Mental Health Awareness Month. So all these things Tina said, you know, if you're feeling low, reach out to somebody. Don't suffer in silence. And if you are suffering in silence, at least try to do something that'll calm you down. Go smoke a joint. Yeah, go smoke a joint. Like, don't do hard drugs, but smoke a joint.
No. We don't do that here. Take care. I'm a KSAT counselor too. So, I mean, if you do got a problem with a drug, you can come talk to me too about that.
Tina wears so many fucking hats.
I got so many hats. Like, it's retarded, bro.
Guys, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other.
Peace.